Happy release day.
Our 9th album came out today.
Yeah, it's a Rub Some Dirt On It release day, and I'm just trying to get a grip on my whole perspective, life, history, future. Yeah. It's a really good moment to, you know, pinpoint and look at and stuff like that, but you know, that's a big deal, having the record finally be out and all that. So it's on Spotify now.
Yeah, it's on Spotify, it's on Apple.
It's kind of different than the release day used to be. We don't get to go to Best Buy and like try to find the CD in a store or anything. I mean, I've seen some, it's somewhere. I mean, then we made CDs and it does get distributed, so it technically is somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it is very strange when you think about how much digital matters now. Like, that's what, I mean, it really does matter. Mm-hmm. And it matters to like us, like with touring and stuff too. Like if you folks out there go listen to our CD, and it makes our numbers go up, it means we can get out on better tours and we can, you know, do a lot more stuff. It's crazy how much, but yeah. And that's just all you have to do is just type in our name, Emery, where you listen to music, and then just play it for us. Yeah, we're not awesome. Asking much. You don't even have to buy the album.
Not to do nothing. You can sell the free version. Probably come across it on a Pandora or here, there, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. What we should have done it for the free version on Spotify, and right in the middle of some of the songs, just a Marriage Supply ad came on.
Yeah, in the song.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you get, yeah, that's good. That's good. The it's crazy because the whole digital landscape has changed. I mean, there wasn't a digital landscape. There was something digital. Yeah. There was internet, but it wasn't a landscape. And now it is a landscape, and we live in that landscape. So yeah, it's like, to me, the whole thing is a flip. I try to keep zooming out and say, what is this ride we're on as, you know, people or humans or me personally or me and you? What ride is this that we're on? Because it's been so long now. Me and you have been doing Shenanigans for 25 years.
At least, right? Yeah.
I mean, just doing stuff. Like coming up with schemes for 25 years, without ever stopping at all.
Yeah. It started, let's see, what was our first scheme, you think?
It was to go on that first tour. I mean, get a gig somewhere.
It was that our first scheme was that we dated girls who were best friends. Yeah, they were best friends, and we worked that out a little bit. And then we started.
That was like 98 or 99.
And then you had some sound equipment, and we'd go to the local bar and run some sound for people. We went to I think we even went to a wedding before, or it was a college campus. We ran some sound to make money.
We get $75, and we would use that money and save it to buy some recording equipment for our two bands that you were in one. And
man, life was simple back then when you could just your big worry was, is the snake going to be long enough to get to the stage? Dude, back to the soundboard.
How many channels of the snake of my snake work? Is it going to? Yeah. No, getting a snake was a huge deal. It was because you used to just put the mixer near the microphone wires.
Right.
And it's like, well, if you get a snake, Toby, we can go all the way back.
I know. Then we're like, real.
But it's going to cost us like a whole gig's worth of money to get the snake. You know?
That's so funny that, like, and at the time, it was like serious, and you had to think about it, and the money, everything, the time, effort, all that stuff. Is it worth it? And now, if you could just go back to that, it'd be the simplest. Like, you just feel so much relief of how unimportant everything is, you know.
But I just can't even say how good I felt when I had a snake. I was like, well, I'm so real. This is so real. I'm so real. I have a snake. I don't even have to stand by the stage with this little mixer that I've had, you know.
Right.
But yeah, it's just always trying to build and do stuff like that. And it's just, I mean, I don't know. It's just the whole big arc of it, I still believe that when the pandemic happened, I say March 15th or so, I think March 15th of 2020, that's like the hinge point where it's like, okay, that is the moment where we totally officially enter in the digital age. Don't you think? Like when you zoom way out.
Yeah.
The day of that lockdown when everybody went in their house.
Yeah.
That's basically where Wikipedia would say in 30 years or 100 years, that's when that's the official end of this era and that start of that era. Don't you think?
It definitely feels like a new era from that moment in many ways. Like, I mean, because if you remember, the stock market crashed, it plummeted for just not unbelievably long time, but a little bit there. I mean, because what was it? March, you can go back and look at it. I think it's like whatever day that was, March around my birthday, March 20, maybe something like that, or it was April, the stock market crash, and Bitcoin went all the way down to like $3,000. And then, you know, and you're like, oh, okay. And there's a thing that might kill everybody. At the time, you were thinking everybody, I thought everybody was dead. Like, I thought this thing is unbelievably serious and we're all gone. This is the movie.
It's all over.
I am now living in the, you know, apocalyptic movie where it's all over. And we lived through it and we're all changed and a little bizarre from it now. We're certainly bizarre. And you and I were talking on the phone yesterday. We were talking a little bit about hell and what is hell, and we were talking, you know, about Arthur Brooks and changing, and but the idea there is like we have a real hard time forgiving ourselves and each other now, and you said it. I was trying to float around what am I talking about here, and you said it. Maybe hell is where you just can't forgive. There is no forgiveness. So then you are always resentful or angry or hurt or continuously living in trauma. You can't move past it. And that, and in some ways it feels like that. Like I feel like we have a huge weight on us now that everybody's carrying, and we don't know how to let go of some things or how to or are they holding on to us? I wrote my goods email this week, and I was like, is your past holding on to you, or are you holding on to it, really? And how quickly our past just is immediately alive and present, you know, in this moment. And so, I mean, I know you're just talking about music and the digital age and stuff, so I've hijacked your thought a little bit. But I think the whole world pivoted. This is like one of those historical moments where the entire world pivoted, and we don't exactly know what the brave new future will be. You know what I mean? You can't really predict. Oh yeah, of course Bitcoin will go back to $100,000. You can't. You know what I mean? Like anybody that's telling you, any futurists right now, I don't think they have much data for what. I mean, I know there's been huge, humongous like technological advances and all kinds of things, but we went from Donald Trump's presidency, regardless of what you think about that, into the pandemic, into Joe Biden. And now, and all of those are symptoms of what we were becoming and maybe what we are. And so I don't know what's going to happen. It's just, I'm really glad that we have like the number one record in America, maybe the world.
Yeah. There's got that. It's just funny. The stuff that, you know, I don't know if your past owns you or you could do whatever with it, but it's hard to get it's hard to get a grip on it at all. But, just to get the perspective on it. But that's what I'm in the mood to do today, as we're just trying to, you know, we got some transition to make as I'm just trying to figure out how many levels can I be open and new things happen and change. And when I think about it, it's just like, okay, I go all the way back to 25 years of trying to figure out stuff and do stuff. And it always just feels like I just want to do stuff.
Yeah.
That other people aren't doing or haven't done yet. I don't care if it's stupid. I don't even care. But we got to try to figure something out. It's just it's all a puzzle. The landscape changes. Everything changes. But some stuff doesn't. Some stuff does not change. But what is that? And how am I in my story? And whatever all that kind of stuff is. But, you know, Emory has had its own really long trip. I mean, so long that I frame it as 2001. You just go September 11th then. You go September 11th to that lockdown.
Another
pandemic.
Critical like change in American history our life.
Yes. Yeah. So that whole, think about all the life and change that happens from September 11th, 2001 till pandemic lockdown, you know, or today. Like that's the big, you know, set up for the transition. Here we are digital. Everything's digital now, and we're going into a different whole thing. And so Emory has its own whole story, and that story goes 12 years before we even get to the bad Christian part. Isn't that crazy? So yeah. Emory's got his 12-year whole career or more in total, and then bad Christian comes. And I was looking at it, and that was more than 8 years ago now. Like probably when we were doing unlearning and that stuff, that was, you know, it's not 10 years ago.
Learning.net or org.
Org, yeah. Yeah. And so Bad Christian.
Joey came up with that website, by the way, and it was the most horrific. And I can remember him going, yeah, I just bought this website. And I was like, oh, what'd you get? Because I was thinking unlearning, or he worked it out or whatever. And it was un-learning.org. And I was like, that's the worst ever. Who does dashes? I mean, even back then, I knew that dashes were bad. I was dying laughing. And then, you know. That's just a funny memory I have of Bad Christian. Way before we thought Bad Christian, we thought, oh, we're going to unlearn the things that we have learned. And it was
still
a good idea.
Still the right concept.
But just a hilarious, like, we couldn't have figured out, like, theunlearning.com or, you know, it's just funny.
So Emory had its own whole thing where it was like these crazy early dreamer years, and then Emory blew up, and then Emory had this long decline as the genre declined and the economy declined. And in that, you know, we're this post-hardcore band that's doing, you know, basically deconstruction lyrics. Is that, I mean, is that how you, when you go back and look now, it's like the fret, it's not our job to make anyone believe. Like,
yes,
we're doing these
right.
lyrics. I mean, that was there. That was already there since 2000 and forever. I mean,
but still flaming Christians, though. You know what I mean? I wrote those lyrics.
And still
became a worship leader at two megachurches
right.
after writing those lyrics. You know what I mean? It's kind of wild.
Just struggling in that, not leaving it, not staying, and not endorsing it, living in that, obviously, tension for ever, and just trying to process it, I guess. But and so by the time we get to doing Bad Christian, it's in this like, well, what else is there to do? We've got to do this. We got to go farther into this stuff. We got to go farther into this Christianity thing because it's so important. And we're at Mars Hill. That was when you were at Mars Hill even, or right after?
Well, Devin quit the band. And then we were like, well, I guess we're, you know, John Dunn from Tooth and Nail called me and said, hey, I don't work at Tooth and Nail anymore. I work at Mars Hill Church, and we're looking for worship leaders, and I think you could be a really good one. And so, I moved my whole family across the country to Seattle a little bit after Devin quit, but still, you and I were focused on the Matt and Toby band and doing some like...
And we were doing living room shows.
That's when we started doing that.
Which is like cross between songs and stories and podcasting and like counseling for,
but we were not podcasting.
There was no podcasting at all. It was just we were doing verbal. We just wanted to talk and talk, get real and talk about stuff and go places and be in the rooms of people and do whatever. And there wasn't that much else to do commercially, so that's just what we were, you know, already doing. And then when we got the Bad Christian, the concept there. That was when it just started to make a little bit of sense. And we said, podcasting probably will get there. But we hadn't even started podcasting yet. And we had
blogging.
The idea of Bad Christian, blogging, ebook. And it was just part of that, you know, scheming to figure out what's next or what else can we do or what are we really, it's really just like what should we've got to do or is really important or whatever. And I remember it. But when I go back, I watched the original Kickstarter-like video that we made. Did you just watch it?
Yeah, we should play it on here.
Okay,
right?
we're gonna play it.
Play it right here.
Basically, want to take back what Christianity is all about, and it's not about us.
Christianity is going to change. It has to, and that's all going to happen through people being totally honest and transparent about their sin and who they really are. And we love the church. We think everything the church is doing is great, and we also think it's the responsibility of the whole global church and Christians everywhere to be more honest and do their part. And that's what Bad Christian is all about.
My name is Joey. I'm a pastor, and I'm also a bad Christian.
We've decided to put out our own music. We're going to be basically starting a label.
So we got a record label that we're going to release Emory's music, Matt and Toby's music, and any other music that's awesome.
Matt, Toby, and Joey. We wrote a book. It is scary, it is ugly, it is totally true.
The ebook that we wrote, it really gives a lot of revealing stories about who we are as people and as Christians, and it's kind of shitty. We're not that great.
We're going to start a podcast with real, honest, open dialogue, as well as having interesting guests join us for that dialogue.
We're going to be doing shows in living rooms all across this world.
What gives us the right to talk about this? We've seen it. We've been on the road for 10 years, and we've been around literally hundreds of thousands of people. Christians are hiding stuff.
We've just created this culture in which we think that we need to defend Team Christianity. And
I think the best part about being Christian is that we get to be honest about our sin and how we're messed up.
I'm convinced that we're just way too focused on the appearance of our personal holiness.
The Bible doesn't take that approach at all. It's only an account of really messed up people. For Jesus.
What we want to do is just be honest as people. What are we hiding? We're sinners. Each building that happens
to be filled with Christians every Sunday morning is filled with sinners. Let's talk about it a little bit more and how amazing God's grace is for us.
Dave, why do you want to be a part of Bad Christian?
I like Bad Christian. I believe in Bad Christian. And remembering God has changed my life.
This looks exactly like the Blair Witch Project.
Josh, what do you think about Bad Christian?
Well, it's really just the next step. It's like the culmination of all the things and all the conversations that we've had in this band.
Why do you support us in Bad Christian?
I believe Emery's music and lyrics have always been about what Bad Christian is about.
Okay, well, there's the backdrop right. for it, but yeah. This is where we were. This was 8-something years ago, pre-podcast, in that whatever that time was, and we're at doing Mars Hill
stuff. Dorky.
It's just crazy. It's, so bad. It's crazy, but it's. I mean, there's some. I don't know. Yeah. Let's watch it.
Yeah. I look almost the same age in the thing, and it's just we talk so funny. I think I said that we want to play living room shows all over the world. And we were going to make a difference. Like, we immediately, that's just so funny. That I really do believe at this point, one of the things that I never thought was like could trip me up or hinder me in a way was that old Great Commission. You know, that has been drilled in my head. You go out, you know, go to the world. And so even in this, we thought, oh, yeah, well, it's not just a podcast or just some guys talking. And, you know, even on at all, we immediately started with the world that we had to go. Our podcast needed to go into the world. Our music needed to go into the world. And like now in retrospect, I look back on that. Wait a minute. Hold on. I don't know if that Great Commission could just mean on. It doesn't have to mean the whole world. Right. Couldn't it mean just, you know, maybe something happens. And you do your best. And
excuse you know, to tour. Come on.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. But
I thank mean, you for the Great Commission. Maybe I got to go to Cleveland.
But I mean, we were because the podcast didn't exist when we made this video, right?
Right.
When well,
it was that, like a yeah. should make a podcast. It just meant, but, interesting.
Right. But we just thought, oh, whatever we're thinking, it probably the whole world needs to hear it, and somehow we're going to go into the whole world and they'll hear it. And we're gonna we'll change the world. I can remember when Emery was just getting started. I can remember standing outside of Starbucks talking to Joey about how we would be a part of a church that was like the biggest church in change in the history of all church. We had that conversation while I was drinking a coffee, and now I look back on that and go, man, that's just my ego, man. My ego, like I am a good guy, and I do want to help people and do things. But like when I look back on that, I think that might have been. Some based in some fame or influence or something more than, oh man, I hope people just feel loved by God or something.
I see it two ways. There's a sweet way in which I see it. Immature.
There was innocence to it, I believe. It wasn't intentional. But.
Because it's like, that's dreaming.
Right, yes. Yeah,
what's wrong
right.
with dreaming about what's important, though?
Yeah,
like
but I
when
mean,
you're stupid yeah. and young. What's dumb about, what's
that's
wrong
true.
With that? But on yeah. the other, because if that's what you care about, it's like Jesus and souls. And you right. believe, and you're going to try. I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't think that's bad, except for I do think it's, like, totally evil also. So, you know, but I'm just saying, you know,
you're working
people
for the
will
Lord,
tell you.
Used by Satan. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's not clear. It's not know, clear I'm to joking. You, any person at any given time, if they think they know it's one,
right.
not the other, then
right.
woe to you. But, you know, it's like they would tell you if your band is making it and the Christian music scene, and it's like you're going out and they put yeah. their hopes on you and say you're going to go change
Use
the
that
world.
Microphone.
Like right. They would tell you you're doing that and you need to do that. And that's the only reason that they're supporting you or something. It's not really true, but how are you supposed to sort that out when you're just
right.
trying to do something when you're a kid or whatever?
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. We were thinking big. And at the same time, same way with Emery. I thought that we were on to something with Emery, and I thought we were on something with Unlearning, eventually Bad Christian. But I just the thoughts there were unfounded in some ways. Like, you know what I mean? Like, why would these, you know, badly dressed white dudes from South Carolina all of a sudden just hit big and then their record would
basically nothing.
Yeah, they're moving to Seattle where nobody even understands. They think they're from Australia or England or something. They couldn't even understand our accents. And we thought, yeah, we're going to make it. And we did. That's what's so absurd about it. Like the band Emery.
We
I mean,
did.
We our new album just came out and we're as big as we've ever been almost.
It's huge.
I mean,
it's going to be big.
If we chose to tour as much as we did in 2005 and 6, I mean, we'd be on the road constantly and with big acts and everything. I mean, we choose to do things a certain way now just because we're older and we want to. But, I mean, I can't believe how blessed or lucky or whatever you want to call it, we like those idiots that dreamed that are. And the same way with Bad Christian. I mean, I can't believe that we started with un-learning.org and wrote, we're all bad writers. You know what I mean? We're not good at writing, especially.
I've always hated it.
Never blogged before. We didn't have a passion for blogging. We never took classes for writing or communication. We never did any of that stuff. And we just believed, well, we probably should just do it. And then it became something that I couldn't have ever guessed. Like, I mean, Bad Christian.
The blogs, the goals of that were, I bet if we could get enough like people to like read our blogs, we could get ads on the blog, and it probably could be like $40 a month. And you don't have to do anything. You just get the $40. And maybe if you get two of them and three of them, that's all we were thinking.
Yeah.
That would have been success. And there's like podcasting. Oh, yeah, that's an emerging thing. That's cool. We should definitely get it. You know, it was clear that was an exciting frontier, but what would that even mean to podcasts? Because podcasts weren't much of a thing in 2013.
And I will say something else here on this, which is I'm very proud of, is that no matter what, even if it was our ego thinking that we could do more than we could or that we deserved it or whatever that was, we always have done things, tried to do things, and I think it mostly accomplished it our way, like DIY, against authority, against the system. Like, I mean, so many people when Bad Christian started, I cannot tell you how many people were just really flustered and upset and talking, you know, sending messages about how we cussed and how bad it was and how we weren't Christians at all. I mean, we got a lot of hate back then. And even with Emory, you know what I mean?
But like, I was just coming out of the fact if you touch Emory alcohol, you're not Christian.
Right.
Like, I mean,
it's crazy when you think about the timeline of that 25 years you're talking about. Think about how much Christian mentality and thoughts has changed from alcohol, divorce, drugs,
gay marriage,
cussing, gay marriage. I mean,
women, everything.
A quarter,
mega.
Not a I mean, a quarter of a century. 25 years is a very small amount of time for that much change to occur. But we were trying to push the limits and all that. And we always try to say, that's why first full time we're on Warped Tour, we dress in spacesuits and basketball jerseys and nerd outfits and Hawaiian outfits. Like, I knew, I was like, man, I just don't want to be this cool band only. I want people to see our personality and do things the way we want to do them. And I don't know if that always works. I think a lot of people wanted to hear Walls or Ponytail Parades back then and cry and be emo. And and the lead singer's up there in Hawaiian shirt or something like that, you know? So,
pajamas.
And then with Bad Christian, it was the same thing. We kept pushing. It felt uncomfortable. We're like, oh, maybe we shouldn't cuss. I mean, we had those conversations. Let's don't. Or we'll say all the words, but we won't say fuck. Or, you know, like we had this conversation. The ones that are acceptable, we'll do. But, I mean, we really have tried to do things the way we try to stay true to ourselves, like, and not get like, oh, well, if we do this, then that way we'll make more money. Like, let's just, because, I mean, we could have, with the numbers we got when we first came out, we could have went way more Christian and careful and probably made more money. Same way with Emory. I mean, Emory, all we had to do was write the question part two, and we would have made a hell of a lot more money. But we were like, nah, let's write I'm Only a Man because this is what we like, and this is what we want to do, and I want to be a fan of this. And so it's not always easy. There's a lot of failure within that, but also you get to be true to yourself.
Well, the thing that's striking to me is like that time where we come from, I don't know another way to say it, but charismatic, missionary culture, like these preachers and these missionaries and the presenters and the talkers and the entertainers, like how all that's mixed together where we come from, that's the part that's always so fascinating to me is like, it's from snake oil salesman to the most evil TV preacher to the best person that could change the whole world all mixed together. It's like whatever, like it's all the soup of...
Right.
Communication, mass communication, and like all that, like it, and so we just kind of, I mean, that's just a whole culture, or whatever. And I really think the early days of Bad Christian, I mean, I call them the missionary years because if you listen to that video, it's a missionary video, right?
Right.
We're just trying to raise money to do missions. I mean, that's just what, but that's not what we're trying to be. Like, I didn't think that even at the time, but now when I even look back on it, it's like, yeah, I guess that's just missionary like stuff, but yet. I don't, you know what I mean? Like that, I didn't I wanted to not be that, but also, well, we're going to try to get money for people to support what we do, but it's art. But is that art? Is music art? Is this art? Like, you know, how can we not be gross? But what is the model for this? Whatever. But you could clearly hear that tone. It's like, and you're going to support us, and we're going to make a difference, and we're going to.
Well, that's also what we'd been taught to do in the Christian world, and what you thought you needed to do and had to do. Like, you had to be, you know, missionaries are funded, and they're able to go into the places you can't go. And so we actually believed that. I think you're right. Like, I do believe there was innocence, and we were genuine, and we weren't trying to just get rich off of people. I mean, if we, that's what I'm saying. If we would have wanted to do that, then we would have gone way. Well, you and I would have written very Christian records.
Right. That was available, you know, and we had advice and pathways there that we were just like, when they would come, you go, absolutely. Like, there was always struggles there, and even advice early on of, well, you should be a nonprofit. Right. Like, we were supposed to be a nonprofit.
Yeah.
And it was like, no, that's just gross.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to do that or not.
We're just going to ask for $4 a month from everybody. Like, that's what we thought. Yeah. It's like, everybody give a dollar. That way no donors can fucking own me.
Right.
And we thought, well, eventually we'll probably have some big donors. Eventually we'll probably have speaking gigs or something. But no.
Right.
That was once we really started, and basically once the podcast hit, it hit. Like, it just hit. Like, the first episode, when it came out, it just exploded, and it wasn't long before it was just like gone from this early dreamer stage stuff to the big time. And it's like, well,
I mean,
there's money. The numbers are growing no matter what. It's Joel Osteen, Mark Driscoll, us.
Bad
and it's like, here we go. And that exact same moment that the podcast blew up, and we're like, oh, okay, we're right for saying fuck you to all the bullshit.
Yeah,
immediately proved right. Immediately Mars Hill collapses. Same exact moment.
Yeah.
And that from that moment on, it's like, wait a second. This is collapsing because it's bullshit, and all this other stuff has been bullshit, but we're not. We're real. We're good. And here's the fucking proof. Here's the ads. Here's the Blue Apron. Here's all the memberships. Here we go. And that just... Whoop.
Yeah, that was the other thing too. The membership. I want to say one story real quick. It's really I want to talk about those memberships, because that the memberships just supported like the idea too. I mean, there were paid memberships, so financially we were being supported, but also we're like, oh my God, there's a bunch of people that are listening to this podcast and financially supporting this because they believe in it. We are offering, we're answering a question or doing something that they need or want or desire. So that felt even better because it was like, wait, we have a very large online congregation. You know what I mean?
I mean, like, it was like, right after. That's what I'm saying. It was hilarious because our podcast with our stupid cartoons is right after Joel Osteen and Tim Keller. It's like, there it is. It's right. Like, if you look at the Christianity, that's it. And that, I mean, again, charismatic.
Right.
Pastor-like people are the first on these mediums. They're dominating. It was way early to podcasting. People didn't have a lot of podcasts in 2014.
Yeah, we beat several of them. What's the
NPR and pastors had them. That's it.
But it's funny. I wanted to say one. I had a memory too. Like, even with Emory, we had an opportunity. We met, you and I met and wrote with a kind of a fairly prolific Christian writer who'd written some hits for some other bands. You remember that?
Yeah.
One of the songs we wrote was "When I Fall, Let It Be at Your Feet."
That was the hook.
It was even kind of a cool song, but we were like, and we just didn't. After we met with him, we're like, and the guy was nice, everybody was nice. You know, that could have been what Matt and Toby could have been, and then that would have been part. That's what I'm saying. There was a real opportunity, which I would have think would have been less of real, less of who we actually are, more careful. But then there would have been more respect. More applause. We would have probably gotten speaking gigs at churches for what we were doing.
But
there would have been a lot.
You couldn't have been you.
But we wouldn't
all.
Have been. We wouldn't have been able to do it.
You would have had to be a different person to receive such things.
Right.
It was no way you could be Toby fucking Morrell and do that. And so I look at you and you look at me. It's like, well, we're not gonna.
Yeah, let's not put that out.
You can't. I mean,
because it would have just. It
can't take those paths. You can't.
But it's funny about that. But yeah, back to it was crazy that, because we did the podcast for a little bit and it started doing pretty well fairly early on. And I think a lot of that, maybe even most of it, was because of Emory. You know, people are like, oh, those guys from Emory have a podcast. Oh, it's, you know, and Emory is considered, to a lot of people, we're on Tooth and Nail, we're Christians and in a band or a Christian band, whatever you want to call it. And So it was interesting that both of those fed so well into each other too. Like people moved from listening to Emery to listening to us just talking. And, right. And that's it's an extension
of the song Freddie Mercury. And now we're podcasting about it. And we just had gotten done doing living room shows and we play it and they ask the question. And now we're doing this on the podcast and it's fun. Plus we can, there's not even a crowd here, so we can totally cut up. It's even easier to cut up. So yeah, like that was, you know, that it just worked, but, and it blew up and, you know, so that went for a long time. And then I guess because of that, you just kind of, like with anything, it was weird because it happened in the time when there was not anything else to do musically. No genre, no nothing. Like, no money, no anything. So it's like that's everybody else in bands had already broken up and quit and stuff by that time. Yeah. And we were just starting to figure out how to hang around and caught that huge wave.
Right.
It's crazy. And so
we were early on with being a screamo band or screaming and singing. And then we were early on with podcasting. You know, podcasting had started, and but, you know, it was like, oh, have you heard WTF with Marc Maron? And there's this guy, Joe Rogan, that's pretty good. And, you know, they're doing pretty big numbers. And, you know, there's a few different ones out there, and, you know, that I was listening to, Hardcore History and, you know, stuff like that. But now it's like a insane industry. But we were early on, and it was just what a ride. I mean, it's been so wild. I will say too, we're skipping over a huge part of this, which is, you know, it's just me and you here talking. Right,
well, we're
now,
not quite even there yet, but I'm just saying in the bigger view, still, that missionary thing.
Am I getting you off your track here? You have a track.
I have a couple of points that are just floating in my head that I want to get.
All right, sorry, let me rewind
that. Circle back to.
Yes, it's been crazy, man. What were you going to say, Matt?
Well, I'm just from that video. It's like a Kickstarter video. Like,
totally.
And here's the thing, right? So that is what it is. It worked.
We did a Kickstarter, I think. Maybe
that was for it. That was what it was for.
Yeah,
we built it. It was like on its own website. We did it through PayPal. You could give a dollar a month. Like that's all we were trying to figure out how to do something. It was before Patreon.
Right.
It was, you know, it was how do you do recurring monthly? And it was before that. It was just that's the model. Because we didn't want big donors.
Right.
You're not going to do like a giant Kickstarter. It's like, we're going to get monthly. If you give a dollar a month, we're just going to do content. Like, that's simple idea, but we were pretty early on that. Right. But it worked, and I know this is kind of crazy. I'm not verifying these stats, but we've done over 1,000 episodes, including the bonus episodes, 700 or something of these.
Right.
You know? And then we used to do Daily Dose where we do 5 a week. I mean, like, we've done over 1,000 of these episodes. Of all kinds of forms and bonus episodes, Big Show, Bad Christian, you know, all these different formats we tried. It's been listened to for over 20 million hours.
Good
of God. human ears.
Wow,
you know, like that happened, and as just a fundraising missions organization, raised over $1 million.
Yeah,
you know, we've made more than $1 million since that time.
Wish I had that.
You know, I mean, it's, you know, a lot of operating expenses to operate a non-profit, you know. No, it's for profit. But, you know, like if and not a million from subscriptions or anything, but including the ad revenue. Because the ad revenue was like, we weren't even thinking about that. It wasn't even on our mind. And then it was just there. And it was like all of a sudden, you make more money on a Tuesday night talking with me, you, and Joey than if we took the whole band to Cleveland and played a show and got paid. We'd make the same amount of money getting on Skype for an hour and a half.
Right.
Skype. And it would come from Blue Apron.
The
money would come from Blue Apron.
Right.
No promoter.
Yeah.
No gas. No hotel. And just, you know. Anyway, the fact that stupid video, I mean, if you showed somebody that video then and said, where do you think this is going to go?
Oh, it looks so bad. It's so terrible. We look awful. We just don't even know what we're talking about. I mean, the things they're saying is just bold and ignorant and also innocent and silly. And it's just filmed pretty poorly. Terrible. You know, just.
But the videos back then weren't good, though. People weren't good at it. Like, if you saw other videos there, I promise you, they were worse. Like, if you saw the Kickstarter videos for some of the early Kickstarter, I mean, they were much, much worse. Like, we worked hard to make that one good. I remember the decision making of it. But, you know, but all that, and that's this other boom cycle that happens in the Emery bust cycle. And now, and so then there's the bust cycle of Bad Christian itself. And now a little gap there, and then another music boom that we're here for.
Right.
But what are your thoughts on the bust, Bad Christian, the bust of it?
Oh,
up in the dam.
Oh, you mean that it was going good and then it got really horrible?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that I could sum it up in something that we all believed in. We were doing for God and for the world, and that it mattered, and we could change some things and do some things. Ended just horribly abruptly, to the point where I most likely won't ever talk to the person I consider my best friend of all time ever again.
Who was the founder of Emory in the first part of that journey all the way back through and before?
Yeah. Francis Chan. No.
Francis Chan, our original.
It's the Pastor With No Answers podcast. You can go check that out. Joey Svensson. And Joey had a severe mental breakdown, and we could not communicate with him or his family. And for those of you who don't know, I feel like most people know the most of the story by this point.
Yeah,
we couldn't. I would say the toughest part of everything was that his family was asking us not to say anything, and they wanted some privacy. And then it was hard for us because our whole podcast was about, wait a minute, pastors, that they don't always get privacy, right? Or can't you be more clear with things? And we didn't know what to say or what to do. I mean, we didn't expect this at all. Like, I mean, first and foremost, Emory and Bad Christian, everybody is really close friends, extremely close friends. I mean, friends first, no matter what. I mean, that has been our mantra almost no matter what. And it has come back to bite us several times now, because you find out who your friends are, or you know how far you're willing to go with somebody and how far they're willing to go with you. You don't always know that. And so that ended just horribly. I mean, it was just horrible. And I know the listeners, a lot of them, especially club members and then friends. I mean, nobody knows how many friends from college that knew all three of us were texting me, asking me what is going on. We can't talk to anybody. You know, what's happening? Give me details. And I was like, I can't totally, because I don't know, and all this stuff.
Well, there's two layers. You said we couldn't communicate, but first of all, there's failure to communicate.
Yeah.
In the lead up, but then there, but by the time there was anything to communicate about, we weren't allowed to communicate.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, so we didn't know.
Right.
You know, we didn't
know. I don't necessarily want to go into a bunch more details, since everybody knows, but that was
just hard because we couldn't talk about it and we didn't know.
That twofold.
And it felt so wrong because, you know,
in that moment, so this was right before the pandemic happened. So this was 2019. It started happening in July. So this was like one of the worst times of my life. I mean, my wife has had cancer. That was unbelievably scary that, you know, your wife has cancer. Fortunately, they caught it fairly early, and she was able to, you know, through some serious surgery and stuff, she's cancer free and has been for years now. But, that's something, you know, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, it will always live with, and can, you know, just like we were talking earlier, your past can just pop right back up and be real in at any moment. But I also had gotten into a car accident, and I didn't know what was going to happen there because the insurance wasn't handling it right, and I thought I was going to get sued. I had to sign, like, court papers and all this, and I was like, oh, no, have I gotten into an accident? And even though I have insurance, are they going to take everything that we have? And it was just – and I didn't even really think it was my fault. I'm not going to go into that either. But it was like – and then Joey, I didn't know what was going to happen to him. At the time, and this is true, so and you can go listen to his podcast because he's talked a little bit about it. At the time, you and I were extremely worried for his life, and no one wanted to hear that. And I understand why they wouldn't want to hear it, because that feels hopeless or whatever. We were talking about it from a point of, we definitely want to get him help as much as possible. And they said, and at every turn, people were saying, no, 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 it's fine. It's fine. No, no big deal. You know, not no big deal, but you don't have to worry about that. And now Joey's talked about it, like, during that exact time, there's like two or three times where he really considered some dark thoughts. And I'm so glad that didn't happen. No matter whatever happened with us, I mean, I love the dude. No matter what, I would love to say I don't, or I'm mad, or I'm hurt, or, you know, he did some things. And I know that he feels that I did some things to him, and he's probably right, or he is right about certain things. You and I didn't handle situations well at all either. Once again, we'd never been in this situation. We were friends first. And I was like, wait a minute, we can't talk like friends? here, or we can't talk, or what is happening, you know. But it was so dark of a time. And then, I mean, there came a time where we were like, we don't know what to do. And, I mean, it felt so dark and heavy. I was like, wait a minute. I just want to really... We felt like, you and I felt like we were being dragged into talking about business, and we were like, we don't want to. Let's just stop. Like, let's just, you know, get better. We don't care. We'll pay your salary. Don't show up to the podcast. We'll whatever, you know, for quite a while.
I think our idea at the time was just, let's take a, just, you right. could take a year off, yeah. I think was basically.
Right. And it felt like a lot of our words were twisted. I know that, you know, some emails that I thought were between us were put out publicly for some reason. I don't even understand some of that stuff. So the context is off and all this stuff. Anyway, at the same time, Joey's going through the worst mental breakdown of his life. And so I totally understand that everything was chaotic and horribly scary on their side. So I don't want to diminish that. It was the worst time ever to talk about business. We didn't want to talk about business. Felt like they kind of forced our hand too. And I think they were trying to get back to some normalcy or something. And we were like, I don't want to sit on a podcast and make dick and fart jokes when I'm worried about your life and you. And that just, and the things that were said about me, I mean, I got, once again, so much DMs on Facebook and different phones and stuff like that. But like I was doing something bad, or I have to fix it. People were telling me that you have to fix it. And I was like, what are you talking? I mean, this is, what are we even, fix what? What are you saying to fix? And what is this? And we're talking about somebody's, you know, life and their brain and how they want to live and what they want to do. There's all this stuff. So it was the darkest time. And we thought there was a moment where, I mean, when I say moment, I'll say a few months, several months. We're like, maybe we just have to end this. Maybe we have to end it. And it was so bizarre that all the stuff we had talked about for all those years, a pastor was, you know, at the center of, we might have to end this thing, you know, wrongdoing in the sense of like, you know, immorality or all that stuff. But like, this was going to end. And we had club members and people that we really cared about. And we're like, wait, we're already losing Joey. Do we stay with it? Should we stay with this for everybody? Should we keep on going? What's going to happen? And then the pandemic hits, and we're like, well, everybody's trapped in their house. They might want to listen to this, and maybe we can bring some levity and just keep this thing going for a little while and see what happens. And it radically changed the way the podcast was from that time when Joey left, because the podcast was three friends trying to be as open and honest and real as their friendship is without microphones and cameras, and cutting up and having a good time. And then we'd have a good guest on, right? And then our podcast became you and me, and we, some of that fun talking at the beginning of the podcast kind of went away. Like, we tried, but it didn't feel the same. Like, it was different. And we, you know, we leaned into great guests, and we've done a lot. This has been years now. That's what's so
some
crazy.
Some really, really good stuff has happened since. But yes. Yeah, but before you skip on, just from
go ahead. Sorry.
My spot on in that.
Can I say something real quick before you do?
Yeah.
I'm not talking shit about Joey right now, and I don't want, you know, people to go online and go, you know, or whoever listens to Joey's podcast. I am glad it seems as if Joey is doing a lot better in life, and that makes me unbelievably happy. The stuff that happened, I don't know if we can is repairable. Just because of some of the things that were said and done. But that doesn't mean, like we talked about hell being without forgiveness. I do want to forgive. I hope whatever, you know, his thoughts about us are, I hope he's able to forgive and move on too. That doesn't mean reconciliation as far as the friendship we had or anything like that. And never say never. But I am glad that he has... Some of the things that we were saying back then that nobody supported us in have come out now. So I feel better because it felt like I was like, wait a minute. Why does everything feel like it's twisted? I'm saying I really care and I want the best. And it feels like I'm against or want to hurt. And I was like, I couldn't. It was so hurtful that the person my best friend, I was just so hurt by it as well. And I know he was hurting and obviously not in a mental state. I mean, he was going through severe depression. And, I mean, it was scary. And we were not allowed to know a lot about stuff, too. And then also, you know, the idea of him just being able to come right back on the podcast when I don't know anything about his mental health or anything. Like, that was really scary. Like, I don't know what that meant. Like, could I say something or could I make a joke and it be taken wrong and it could hurt him? Like I didn't want that responsibility, but I want to clearly say, I am happy for Joey. It seems like he's in a good spot. You can go listen to his podcast and all that stuff. I'm not talking shit about it. I'm just remembering what the story is right now.
Yeah, and he got into some situations just from, I mean, when I look back at it, there's a lot of regret. I mean, people say I don't have any regrets. I do. I have a lot.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
I just do. I would have not done this if I could go back. In a way, like, I don't know what would have been different. I would have done something, but whatever it is that we did, I understand how he was hurt. But I understand how he just had to do what he had to do to make his decisions to manage who he was in the context he was in. But the big public eye context at a high level for entertainers and pastors and people, it is dangerous stuff. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it just is. It's tough. It's dangerous. Yeah. And he had to do some things to manage that. And then at some point, there's a loss of trust in that. We didn't understand how he was managing, what he was doing, and what we did get left out of the loop of what was really going on with him long before we knew that we were out of the loop. And that's when my experience was like, wait a second. I thought if anybody was in the loop of what's going on with him, it's me. It turns out I was not in the loop, and then not ever going to be back in the loop. And how long have I been out of the loop of what's actually true here? Nothing's ever been worse to me than that. Like, that's the worst thing that's ever happened to me. I don't know, like, that's the way I would say it. But I do understand how it got that way. But it was completely unforeseen. So that's what makes it so difficult, is the second that I did start to gain an understanding, you can't talk about it. There's a pastor involved. We're the transparency guys. This is Mars Hill again. Fuck.
Right. It was something like that. Yeah.
It rhymes with Mars Hill so much. Yeah. And I thought we were the most different from that. And that was validated, because what they did was not, the way they handled their shit was not right. And they fell apart as a result. And I said, well, and now us, same. We're just same, right. I guess. You know,
I want to say something here, too, based on what you're saying, too. I want everybody to understand, before the podcast ever happened, I don't know how many thousands of hours of talking with Joey. I have talked to him deeply more than any other human on earth, more than my wife, more than him and his wife have talked. Him and I have talked. Think about our friendship all these years. And then all of a sudden there was a time where we were doing an episode a day.
Yeah.
You know, for bonus episodes and stuff. I mean, you and I have so much time. With Joey's brain, and he has it with our brain and your brain. And so we were caught off guard because you're talking so much. But I think what we started realizing is, wait a minute, even though we're talking a lot, we might not be talking about what we need to talk about. And none of us, I think, knew. It wasn't like we started just pulling away from each other intentionally, and it was this and that.
Not at all.
We thought we were going deeper with each other, and I think it just started. I think
there's just a record scratch moment.
Because Joey and I worked at a church together, and when I left, I think from there, us all three being in different places and not as physically connected, and what I think there's some distance that happened that I didn't realize, because I just didn't see it, because I'd been doing that so long that, you know, we'd lived in all different places in Emory for a long time, and it always is fine, but that doesn't work for everybody. You know what I mean? You and Devin are unique people that can be super close, live very far away, run businesses together very well, and communicate very well. And other folks have issues with that, not even intentionally or bad. It's hard to live like that. And us three don't realize it. Us, it comes natural. And I think the other people, you know, it's hard to be at a distant or communicate clearly at all times, or, you know, sometimes, you know, it just has come easy for us in some ways, and I don't know why, but it just does, I think.
Yeah. So we, you know, made it through that time, because that's all you can do, and it was never going to be right to, I mean, it couldn't be more clear to me. I was not intending on shutting down the podcast and club and membership. I mean, that's, you know, that's just, that was off the table for me. So whatever it takes to not simply fail and disappear, not gonna
happen. There was several months there where we thought, this maybe does have to come to an end because everything was becoming so out of control. I didn't know what to do. It's such a weight. It's so awful. We can't say anything. We can't do anything. Maybe we should just end it. And then we finally said, we cannot communicate. Like, you and I had a very long conversation where we talked the most serious probably of our entire friendship. We said, we cannot communicate with Joey and his team or family or whatever. It just, whatever we say is not clear or something. Like, what, you know, on both parts, we are just not able to communicate. And so we said, you know, we gave like three options of what could happen, what we thought we could accept. And Joey picked one of them, and then that was the end of our relationship.
Mm-hmm. And so then it was the next chapter was to, well, what do we do from here?
You know, right. And it's the pandemic.
Then the pandemic was basically right after that. So it's like personally, like, okay.
Right.
Because I remember before Bad Christian started, I was thinking, should I go back to school for something?
Right.
Like, before Bad Christian, it's like, what do you think we should? Because I don't think this Emory
band thing's
going to hold
up. Last. How could it?
Well, I mean, you know, you got to start asking some questions. But right. I don't know. Let's try this blog thing before I, like, figure out what I might want to go back to school for or get a career. Or something. But because that's what everybody did, you know. Nobody, you know. But, yeah. And so then to get to the next part here, it was just, okay. So now, again, it's like, what would my life? Okay, because no clue where it was going other than we thought it was going to go up or continue to translate into different things or different platforms. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, just we're going to continue to succeed at things because that's just, I can't help it. You have to believe that way.
As you naive have to as, believe you could you
That's what I'm
succeed,
saying. It's just, right. I know I'm naive, but yeah. I'm going to keep, I just, it's working. So I don't know how to be another way. So right. I got to try. You got to, I mean, I'll take chances or whatever, but it's like, what, okay, so if Bad Christian were to end, okay. There's no, it's still not Emory as a career, but what are we doing? What else is here? But meanwhile, Emory had done really well because we'd been building community and Bad Christian really made Emory strong.
Yeah.
And so then that membership model, we're doing Emory Land, and that's a membership model that's working. So there's Bad Christian and Emory Land, and it's like, well, those work, and those are my job. Now, the wind's totally out of my sails with this Bad Christian thing, but yet I have... I mean, no lack of desire to learn, communicate, talk. I just have that. I mean, I'd podcast the rest of my life for free if somebody will talk to me and somebody will listen
right.
to me. It's like exercise. I just got to exercise my motor mouth. I just have to. It's what I need to do to process out loud and have somebody hear it. I don't know. But so I love it. But what, you know, what is it? What am I trying to do? What is this? And so it was like that was the reconstruction for me. It's like, Agnes Callard and these other people we talked to on the podcast.
Scott Galloway,
it's just not, it's like, what can I learn now that my world feels destroyed and I'm not even on that mission thing, but all the stuff I believe about Christianity and Jesus, the right. real stuff is still real. But yeah, okay, so I'm deconstructed or whatever, but what? I got to learn. Right. I mean, it's just like, this is going to be long and painful and sucky and I got to learn and talk through it. I mean, so that's what that's what it was for me. You know, what we've been doing.
Yeah, for me, it was the pandemic hit, and also I was still going through, you know, I mean, just feeling the loss. Like, I really, on some levels, still, you know, don't ever let anybody tell you how long you're supposed to grieve, because that they just don't know. I mean, I, you know, don't milk it, make everybody feel bad, but real grief, real grieving, and can take as long as, and so, I mean, it wasn't like, oh, we moved on past Joey and now I can get on with my life. Like, I was just sitting in it, like, just sad and lonely. I mean, the silliest things are like, you know, I don't get to talk to Joey about the Green Bay draft or the Aaron Rodgers is being acting a fool again, or like just little things like that you do with your best friends. Like, you know, you don't get to see each other or call each other, ask each other how it's going or hear some juicy gossip or whatever, you know, like all that normal stuff is gone. Not, you know, the podcast is what it was, but that's not, doing the podcast with Joey is not what I miss. I do miss Joey. Like I said, once again, though, I don't know if that,
yeah, I don't miss doing the podcast with him, but I miss him. Yeah, that's right.
That relationship won't ever be the same and probably is irreparable to me, only because I don't think I can go back. Just the way some of the things went down, I there's a lot of trust, and I think on both sides, and so I don't even think that's something Joey would want to pursue. But when the podcast kept going, I just thought, okay, we could end it, and then is it just we just like I said earlier, is it built up this huge online congregation, if you want to call it that, or just group of people or whatever, and we're just gonna bail? Yeah, this happened. Okay, sorry, we can't do it anymore. We're gonna leave. And so I just thought, and then the pandemic happened. I was like, well, I'm just sitting in my house anyway, and I love to talk. Me and Matt and talk our asses off. So let's just see what happens with this. So it was really, I would say, for a year or so, just let's just see what this is. Maybe it just ends. Maybe it finds its end.
Yeah. You know, yeah, what I mean, immediately not people ending, were like leaving. Yeah. The people would leave their memberships and say you this or that. It's like just go for
hundreds
it.
Hundreds of people in the club left. Like, yeah, because they didn't. Yeah. You know, they lost trust. They felt like they were betrayed in some way, which I understand. I do understand the way everything was communicated. In the moment, you're really hurt because not only are you getting all these bad things happening in your personal life and your business, but then people are saying some, you know, really mean things about you. And you're like, but I can't tell you all this. And I want to. And maybe if I did, what if I told you everything and it ended really badly for Joey? Do I risk that? So, okay, I'll let my reputation take a real big hit because maybe that might have a better outcome than me saying, oh, see, I was proven right. I wasn't trying to be proven right. It's just there is no right. There is. It's all tough and rough and bad, and it was horrible for the Svensons. I can't imagine how tough it was for his family and all that. So it is awful because I know if I was feeling this bad, you know. You know, I know it was tough for them too. But so I just looked at it as like, okay, you're right. Like, maybe this isn't what we were anymore. You know, we started out on this mission and to change the world and all that stuff. And now maybe the truth is maybe we have a guest on that changes your perspective a little bit and opens up your mind a little bit outside of the context of church and religion. And what does that look like? And so that was kind of nice. And it was a little bit of an escape getting to hang out and interview people that I didn't think we deserved to get to interview, but were able to and have them on the podcast and hear great, brilliant ideas. I think that's just been so wonderful. I love that. I love that part of Bad Christian.
Yeah. And so we just figured we'll see the numbers go down and the money go down. That's okay. Like, that's fine. Yeah. Like, to be expected or whatever.
Right, sure.
Really great moments. Not that far down of downloads, not that much down of money, down enough to where we're not getting the ads anymore. We're not doing ads on the show.
Yeah.
So by the time we didn't have ads, but still good memberships and still good downloads, that didn't feel bad to me. That felt like, okay, well, this is what is here, you know. And so we found that, and those are still quite impressive, you know, in the grand scheme of podcasting. It's, you know, we're still a top 1% podcast, you know, but so it's cool. Like, it's real. Like, it, that validated to me that this is whatever the processing journey that we always take. I thought it was this. Now I think it's this, but regardless of what I think it is, you know, we've been verbally processing out loud whatever it is that we're going through, and people still start at the beginning. There's people going back to episode one right now, and I just can't. I mean, I can't stand the thought of that happening because of how whatever they're all going to hear. It's like, from here there to there. Never take any episodes down or went back. I haven't said the most ridiculous stuff ever on the podcast. Never want to take that down because it has to be there because how else? I can't reinvent myself. I'm just not interested in that. I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've never known what we're doing other than we're doing it. Fuck it. We're doing it live. I mean, that's just got to keep going.
Yeah. And once again, we talked about the 25 years. Just think about the time that we started this podcast to the changes that have just happened since we started this podcast till now.
In the world,
In the whole world and what is the future. And everybody else lived through the pandemic and everybody else lived through a bunch of bad shit and life and trying to figure their life out and all that stuff. So I'm glad that we've been along the way. Here for people. I want to go back myself. I'm going to go back and just listen to every episode. I think
it's too long. It's too many hours. You don't have that kind of time. You're going to die
soon. On my walks.
You can't do that. The whole thing, you will not do that.
How amazing would it be? Have you ever heard of this thing called marijuana? you partake of some of that, and then you listen to an episode. You might really enjoy it. It might open your mind to something. So
Yeah, I'm sure you're right. It's just like, man, that sounds so painful.
But yeah. So anyway, all this to say, are we getting wrapping it here? What are we trying to tell people?
We got to move forward from here. So what do we have?
So a few weeks ago we had Arthur Brooks on. I highly recommend listening to that episode. It was different than I thought it would be, and I really appreciated what he had to say. But it just struck me when he said, he was in his job. He'd worked super hard to get there. His job was influential. He was working with politicians and the government. And, I mean, he was, you know, solving problems. He said the job every day was different and fulfilling. Like, it was fulfilling to him. He did enjoy the job. But he knew that if he kept going, he was just going to be kind of like sucking the life out of it, living off the thing that he had built instead of building something and making something new. Like, he knew what his job was, and he'd worked hard to get there. But if he didn't do something different, then eventually it was going to be kind of come empty and tired and not have the direction in his life that he had hoped they would have. And as you get older, you kind of need something else. That's why people have midlife crises. Like, wait, I've gotten all the way here, and now what? You know, you need that next adventure. You need that new thing. So all that to say, and I'm sure people have guessed it since we've been talking about memories and stuff like that. We are, I'm not going to do the bands that quit, we're done. This is our last tour. I'm not going to say that, but we are going to take an official hiatus from Bad Christian. I don't want to say Bad Christian is over because I don't think I'm ready for it to be over. I don't think it is over. There's so much more that I want to do, but I don't know how right now. I feel like we've been doing Bad Christian for a while, and even after all the things that have happened, it's still viable. We could continue to do episodes, great episodes, every week, but I need something fresh. I need that thing I need my heart to be renewed. And there's a lot of baggage that comes with Bad Christian now. And if I'm going to do Bad Christian, if Matt's going to do Bad Christian, I think we need to step away and see what it is now. Like, maybe like that mission statement and that Kickstarter that we did all those years ago, we kind of need another one. Maybe we'll film it better. Maybe we won't ask for money. You know, but I wouldn't mind a new mission statement of what it is, and because the world has changed so much and we've changed so much, and I want to honor what Bad Christian is. I really do. That's the reason we stayed after everything went down with Joey, is I want to honor the people that have supported us and what it meant to them. I mean, so many marriages have happened from Bad Christian, so many friendships, so many events, so many hilarious moments, so many heartbreaking moments. I mean, there's been so much, and I want to honor that, and I think the best way to honor it is to pause. And that pause, you know, I hope I live long enough to come back. I don't know how long the pause will be. I'm not going to put any time limits on it. It could be 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years.
It could be short. It really could be short.
It could be. It could be short.
But it could be longer. But the
thing would be is that we have to figure out what it is now and why and what we are in that and what it will look like. And I think we need some time away because it was so traumatic, everything that happened, and we just kept going. And I think we might need a little bit of a rest to maybe kind of figure out where we are now. And to maybe some of that grieving that I've done, I think I'm ready to move on, but I kind of have to get there without, you know, making sure I keep this Bad Christian thing going right now. So we are going to go on hiatus. We are going to take a break. And there isn't a time limit, so I don't know. Don't be surprised yet if 2 weeks from now we're back. No, it'll be a little while, but I don't want to do the thing where it's definitely over because I think there is more left. But what is that thing? I want to be able to clearly say it because after everything went down with Joey, we just floated because we didn't know what else to do. You know what I mean? We just floated, and I don't want to float. I think we've gotten good interviews, and I think we've gotten a little bit back of what, but I want to continue to do that. And with that being said, too, a beautiful thing that has happened for me is, you know, we've been doing what we've been calling the big show episodes on Bad Christian, and they are just so life-giving to me. They are so fun. They're so silly. It is that thing that people loved about Bad Christian, where three friends are hanging out, talking, and being real, and maybe even uncomfortable, or gross, or stupid, or wrong. You know what I mean? Like, but it's just some friends talking. That has been honestly a little life giving to me. Like, I after those podcasts, I feel energized and refreshed, and like, oh yeah, friendship and life, and this is all so good. That's going to increase that show is, I mean, we've been getting so many, so many comments. It feels nice to get DMs where people go, man, I was laughing my ass off at this part. Or, hey, you know, when Lunsford said that, well, this is what I actually, you know, it's like it sparks thoughts in people's minds, what we're talking about, what we're doing. And since Emory is like back and huge, it works really great for our circle now to be more streamlined. Like that, the podcast can be about music and we can have our friends in the music world on, who obviously many of them are still Christian. We're not going to shy away from Christian topics or, you know, Christian music or whatever it might be. But this is an opportunity for us to have a lot of fun, make a kick-ass podcast and continue that while pausing Bad Christian. And Bad Christian can
be the brand,
right?
Pausing the brand, essentially, not the actual podcast feed.
We recorded an episode. This is what really hit me. We recorded an episode this week on Monday, and at the end of it, I had laughed so much, and I had such a good time, and felt so much friendship and camaraderie, and just, I mean, we talked about all kinds of things, and some of it's really stupid and dumb and wrong and all that. So don't, you know, but I was like, this isn't a Bad Christian episode. This isn't Bad Christian. Yeah, like you know what I mean? Like, and if
find it on Spotify and the Bad Christian yellow thing.
Right. I was like, if I do want to honor Bad Christian and what it is and what it could be and what it was, then this can't go here. We can't attach it to Bad Christian. You know what I mean? Like it's crazy to have, you know, Anna Lemke on and then have an episode like the Big Show episodes. So the Big Show is going to become its own podcast. And we are something I've been saying for over and over, and everybody keeps laughing at me, is that it's all over. We thought that might be the perfect name for this podcast. That just like life as we knew it before COVID, that's all over. Mm-hmm. Presidencies are all over. Music is all over. Technology is all these things. It just seems perfect. And it's funny that we would, you know, pause Bad Christian at the same time. Bad Christian is over, maybe for now, but and we can do this thing, and we just think that's we want it to be. It's basically post everything. It's post Christian. It's post hardcore. It's post comedy. Like, comedy has changed. Matt and I were talking the other day. I don't care anymore about watching a stand up comic. But you know what I love is podcasts where comedians are on and just shooting the shit and saying hilarious, funny things, because we are funny and we want to. We're trying to be funny and make our friends laugh, and hopefully along the way
not
you laugh
to
too.
Be a professional comic.
No, but we are. Yeah,
stand-up.
But we want to be funny and have a good time. And this could be the next stage of comedy. Is like post comedy for us. So there's going to be a bunch of different things there, but we just have really enjoyed that. So what we are going to do is Bad Christian will pause, and you will be able to come here now, and you're going to be listening to It's All Over podcast. It's a part of Emeryland.
Yeah, so Emeryland has continued to grow. It's funded all the things we've done through the pandemic. So when the pandemic hit, we did this podcast, but we also just kind of went bananas making digital content, because that's kind of the dream, is if you could be a digital creator and reach everybody all the time and make the best stuff you can make, that, you know, we just got on the ball with that during the pandemic, and now we're able to go back to the physical world and add that back.
Right.
We kind of inverted the thinking. We were able to make those specials and redo our albums and even make Rub Some Dirt on It, which has just been the wildest, most coolest project we've done in forever. And it's epic, and if people understand what we did and how we did it and how intense it was, and you can hear it because it's out now, that was all just because of Emeryland. And we spent that whole time really not knowing how these things were supposed to align, but we did a shitload of work, Katie especially, and me and Toby, of what is the club? How does it work? The BC Club people and Emeryland people, they're the same people? Are they different people? Because the two things are intertwined and feed each other. So we've been merged. And I know we have different payment platforms. People all the way back are still giving us $1 a month from PayPal from that video.
Right.
So there was a Patreon at some point. There's a Gumroad. You know, there's all the different ways you could contribute to what we do. But basically, all the people that give membership money, that always turns into, we invest that into new ideas and projects, and then it happens, and then this amazing kind of stuff happens. We did this whole Rub Some Dirt on It, got its own momentum, gave it to everybody else, talk about it on the podcast, getting all these things combined, and now there's a public interest in both the genre, our band, and this record, which we recorded in 2 hours live with a camera crew. I mean, it's just, what a cool idea that would not have happened any other way. And now here we are, and Emeryland is thriving and doing well. All the BC Club members also have been merged into Emeryland. So I don't know who came in what door at this point. It doesn't really matter. But Emeryland is the membership that has been really working, that is now for the podcast and the band and however you look at it. It's just, I mean, that's the business model is we make bonus episodes. We're going to keep making bonus episodes, right?
Yeah.
Just the same. We might probably evolve that and get more creative with it. But
yeah,
we have extra podcast episodes. We have a mountain of content that is exclusive in the Emeryland library.
Right.
And then we're going to keep reinvesting that, and we got new ideas, new projects and things that go to Emeryland. It supports it, all that, and then they'll emerge publicly, you know, out of the vault and library into the public, you know, the ones that should do so, and Emeryland is the mechanism for that. So of course the guys from Emery have a podcast. It's all over Emeryland podcast, whatever it is. It's not, you could say it's still the Bad Christian podcast if you want to. I mean, I understand that.
Those guys from Emery or whatever you want to say. I don't care what you call it, you know.
It's the same podcast feed. It's the same podcast feed. It's still doing the same thing. And whatever, you know, this next episode, it'll probably have a different cover image. And like the Bad Christian, the words Bad Christian will be gone on the Spotify feed. So that's really all it really is, if you wanted to reduce it down to that. But it's just significant to me, it's significant to Toby, so we're just saying it out loud, making sure we're processing it right. But we're going to remove that branding and just continue on here. So it'll still be episode 600 or 700 and something of what this bigger project is, but the Bad Christian brand itself is going to pause.
Yeah. And that's what's really cool about this too for us, is that it felt like we were split so many different ways, but now everything kind of funnels together so that not only are you, like with Emeryland, you know, your membership or whatever, you get all the Emerys. I mean, right now we're working on a covers album just for the Emerylanders. So Aaron Sprinkle's going to mix it,
it's
and just
good.
The people in the Emeryland will get it, you know. But we're still going to do bonus episodes, but everything can now be like, I felt for a little while now that, oh, this is Bad Christian, and now we're doing the big show, or, you know, what is it, and how does this funnel into Emery as well? And, I mean, there's so many moving parts. This helps us. We've been trying for a while to streamline everything, make it easier for us, because we have so many different things we're doing, and then we call everything a different name. It's like, we're just trying to get to where everything is, you know, Emeryland. This is the podcast, and this is, you know, what we're doing. This is our tour. Like, everything can funnel in together, and it's going to be so much nicer for us. I think it's going to be so much nicer for you, the listener, as well. You'll know what to expect each week. The perks for the club are going to be even better and fun, and we'll be able to focus on some things. So I'm just excited about what the future holds, just for the near future. You know what I mean? I'm not even going super far. I'm excited for even the rest of this year of what we can do, what we can accomplish. We want to grow the podcast. We want to do more stuff, and I think we'll be able to. And it is sad. I for the longest time, I mean, we've been talking about this for a while, but, you know, trying to figure out, you know, I know people listening right now, maybe it kind of comes out of the blue, but, you know, I've been thinking about this for a while, but the real truth is, I do want to honor what Bad Christian was, is, and will be, and I think we can do that in a way that is going to be really good for our health, the health of the people that want to support us and listen to us, and so I'm excited about that. I am sad a little bit, like it's like, oh wait, we made this thing and it was unbelievably awesome, and we're going to pause it, and I don't know when I'll come back to it. You know, if I die tomorrow? Wouldn't that be wild?
Yeah.
That would be so wild if I did die tomorrow. I hope I don't. I hope I didn't just call my own death. That would be crazy. What if I got in a...
Tomorrow?
Yeah. What if tomorrow I died and everybody's like, oh my gosh, there will... I mean, don't you dare start Bad Christian if I die. If you die,
I'm starting the very next day, I'm bringing it back. Yeah,
with Joey. That would be just unreal. Like,
I'm making the next Kickstarter video, me crying at your funeral of what I need from everybody to really do something.
I mean, what if I died and out of nowhere, Joey does show up to my funeral and y'all reconcile and the next week start the Bad Christian Podcast? Well, that
explodes.
That probably won't happen. I'm getting cremated.
Well,
baby.
There's been a lot of big milestones and, you know, the podcast has been on NPR, you know, it's just like, there's nobody there's nobody in Christianity in any of the power circles who can act like they don't fucking know about it. And that is my favorite part, is I've heard stories of boards and churches and this and that. But they were aware pretty early on that that countercultural bad Christian force was out there.
Yeah.
Like saying? And so they've had to reckon, the institution of Christianity's been reckoning with. I mean, it's not the hugest podcast or anything like that, but it is, I don't know if it's a thorn in their side or whatever, but something they've been, they track and are aware of, is like it's a counterculture movement that they keep tabs on or something like that. Yeah. And another thing I think is cool about it is somebody asked Mark Driscoll about it, somebody I know, and it's like, he said, you know the Bad Christian podcast? And I think Mark's line was, I hate those guys, which I think is hilarious.
All right, so if you're listening to this, it'll be, nothing's going to change except for the title, and you're going to get more of the episodes that we've been doing that was formerly called The Big Show. Now it's called It's All Over, and there's going to be some fun things coming up on that podcast, too. It's going to get better.
Thank you for the support, though. The support is belief in, it's been belief in, I don't know. I mean, I don't even want to get serious like that, but it doesn't go without saying that even when I'm an idiot, people can believe in me. So big thank you, like, on a personal level. And then I want to identify that the BC Club and its decentralized set of subgroups that began in 2014 are strong and good. Basically the subgroups are all these groups that came out of our group. They're unofficial, that are not run by us or anything like that, but they all have, there's a network of Facebook subgroups that have been really life-giving. And in the BC Club and those subgroups, there's been children, marriages, lots of really incredible stuff. And those stand and will continue.
Right.
I think the beautiful thing is, just like when the bands break up, they think we're ending this band. No, you're fucking not. Your band is going to keep going. It doesn't require you.
Right. Doesn't need us.
And you might get to reengage it one day or whatever. If you're in a band, your band's going to go on digitally, even if you die.
Right.
But if you want to re-engage it and play some shows later, maybe you can get to do that. But the thing transcends the individuals. And Bad Christian certainly transcended Joey or Matt or Toby.
Right, totally.
You can't actually make it go away. You can't end it. You couldn't pretend it never existed. It's just there. And we built it together with people. And it's a force that exists in the world. And we're just not going to engage the brand at this time. But that doesn't actually stop it.
Right.
And that's... pretty is decentralized, and I think that's powerful.
Yeah, it's crazy how many people have supported us, how many people we've worked with. I mean, Reba, Taylor
Atkins.
There's been a billion people. So it's just been all along the way something pretty phenomenal, and that's why we're not saying it's over. I don't think it is. I need to step away for me and
of making that particular content as that
of making
person,
that
yeah.
one because. Bad Christian, like you just said, became more than me. And so I'm trying to be a part of something that I don't even know where I fit in anymore. And so I just wanted some time to see where I fit in the Bad Christian universe. So, and we'll keep you updated. Don't worry. But as for now, keep listening. It's All Over podcast is going to just be the episode that's coming out is so funny. I can't even believe it. So,
And this basically after we made that episode, I was like, okay, I think this is what we've been trying to find.
Right.
This felt good. Let's just go ahead and make a switch of some type here. And so I guess we'll do that week to week. We might do interviews or whatever, but just format wise, we're just going to hang out and try to make the best stuff we can and then increase that skill and quality and whatever it is you know, from there. So I'm excited about that without a huge plan, but I hope everybody will stream the new album as well. That's all
that.
I ask is check it out, and maybe this, the podcast Emery Bad Christian, they've grown each other, they've helped through, so whatever's next, I don't know what it is, but direction seems solid and clear. So I'm stoked. I really am. I'm happy about the way everything's turned out, but in a way that, there's loss involved in it too.
Yeah.
But I didn't have that integrated before, and you know, I feel, I guess reconstruction is definitely part of, it's definitely something with deconstruction, reconstruction, and beyond. I don't know.
Yeah.
But thank you, Toby, for sticking it out through it too.
Yeah, I mean,
thank you personally.
Yeah, it's wild when I look back and think about you and me and Joey and what we created and how much is still alive through everything. Like it was almost like it had a real life of its own with amazing ups and downs, and it's still alive and still here, and it's just going to pause for a little while to get maybe even a little more healthy than it was. So I'm excited about the future.
And who knows? So you could go back to the episode one challenge with everybody else.
I think I might. Maybe
I mean, it lives in that capacity. The whole journey is available.
Yeah, that's true. All right, y'all be good to each other. We'll see you soon.
See you next week. New something, new image, new title, new description, whatever. See you next week.